it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Speaking of wrecking, your scooter motorcyclist was rushed to the hospital after falling off of Route 6 overpass in Providence, Rhode Island on Sunday. Spokesperson for the fire department said the motorcyclist crashed just before 5:30 in the evening, causing him to go over the guardrail and fall 60 feet below.
Oh, jeez, man.
That was in his 20s or 30s. He landed on the Route 10 on-ramp on Westminster Street. He suffered critical injuries, unfortunately.
Yeah. Wasn't there a dude, I believe it was here in Washington State, within the last 2 years, cops are chasing him on foot. He's doing everything he can to get away, jumps over a guardrail, and drops about 50 feet onto, did not realize the drop, so he's jumping over all fences and all this crap, jumped over a guardrail, and they're like, yeah, we stopped chasing
him. There was a motorcycle
Good
officer.
Luck, bud.
Did the same thing. It was like somebody was in town.
All right.
Politician, I don't know who the hell it was. Either way, they're getting a police escort. The motorcycle police officer, he's on the overpass over I-5. I don't know what happened, if he got bumped, if he lost control or whatever. He went over.
Right, went over.
But he ended up being okay. I mean, as okay as you can be. He didn't die.
As okay as you can be.
That's right. You are alive. That's as okay as you can be.
What happened that wasn't supposed to happen that day? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sammy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, Batolas.
Hola.
Okay, so this was about 3 years ago. It was my 30th birthday, and I decided I wanted to knock something off the bucket list and go skydiving.
You guys
talked about this, reminded me of this. Signed up online, was excited, decided I was just going to go by myself, go do my thing, and then I'd meet all my friends back at my house for my birthday party, right? Cool beans. All everything's going to go great, right? I get there. And they start calling everybody out except my name, and it's just me and, like, one guy that's sitting there that works there. And they called it out everybody for the tandem class. So I'm, like, kind of looking around, and I look up at the guy who works there, and I'm like, hey, doesn't your first jump have to be tandem? Because I kind of assumed that's how it had to be. And the guy looks at me, shrugs his shoulder, goes, meh, not necessarily. So okay. I'm kind of like,
did he offer an alternative? Because when I went, like most of the time it's tandem. What they told me was, they said, look, if you insist on going solo, that's fine. But also, it's like 4 hours of training before you get the chance to do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, he was like, well, you can do the tandem class, but, you know, like that one's already full, so you'd have to reschedule. And I'm kind of one of those people that I was like, no, I came all the way out here. I want to just do it. So I was like, I guess I'm doing whatever else this is going to be. But what I didn't realize is, like you said, the tandem class is about a 2-hour class, and what they call AFF, which is accelerated free falling, is a 5-hour class. So I said, you know what, go big or go home, and I decided I was going to do the AFF class that I had apparently signed myself up for.
All right.
And I get in this class, and I'm the only female in the room except for one instructor that they brought in that I think they brought in because there was a female in the room. But all these guys are lined up. They do, like, the introductions, like, hi, what's your name? Why are you here? Yada, yada, yada.
I'm here to jump out of an airplane. What the hell are you doing
here?
I'm here to swim.
I'm here for a McDonald's.
Jesus Christ. This is not AA.
Like, I'm going into this military branch, or I'm going into this, and then they get to me, and I'm like, hi, I'm Sammy, it's my 30th birthday, and I want to yeet myself out of a plane.
Yeet.
So the instructor laughed. He's like, oh, you're an adrenaline junkie, aren't you? And I was like, yeah, you know, I grew up car racing and all the jazz, so yeah, pretty much always wanted to do this, so let's go. So at the time that all my friends are starting to show up to my house for my supposed party, they are finally loading me in this plane. And not going to lie, it was hands down the coolest experience I've ever had in my life, because once I jumped and, you know, pulled the chute, I was immediately in a cloud. That part's all cool. That's not necessarily where it went wrong. Where it went wrong is I had a blue suit with a yellow chute, and there was another guy that was jumping at the same time that had the reverse. And you know, you're not allowed your phone or anything like that. They give you like a little radio so that the person on the ground can kind of instruct you, you know, as you're getting close to like flank and, you know, get straight, et cetera, et cetera. Well, he keeps calling the other guy's name and telling him like, hey, you need to straighten out. You need to straighten out. And I'm coming in a little bit hot because I am just going, you know, balls to the wall, for lack of a better term. But he finally, like, as I'm getting real close to the ground, he goes, you know what, that might be Sam. Whoever's in the blue suit, you need to flank, like, now. Well, I learned why they tell you that you have to come in, like, parallel to the ground, because I was coming in at an angle. And as soon as I hit that ground, thank God I played years of softball, because I was not going to be able to run and, like, even myself out. I had to tuck and slide, and I basically did a giant softball slide coming in and came in way too hot. And my left ankle, like literally within seconds, is just swollen and purple. And I, at the time, drove a car with a very, very, very stiff clutch. And
of course you did.
Of course I did. And of course it's my left ankle, right? And I live in Olympia, and I was all the way out in Shelton. Mind you, drove myself.
I think I've been to that spot. Yeah, I know exactly where you jumped.
Yeah, it was a great time. No qualms about those guys there. They were great. It just happened to be that, go figure, I'm like swelling. My ankle's like literally almost four times the size it's supposed to be, as I have to drive myself
all the
way back to Shelton, or from Shelton, you know, pushing this. And again, I have an extraordinarily stiff clutch in that car. So thank God for adrenaline, the things it'll do to your body to make you not realize how much pain you're in. But
did you break it?
I didn't break it, but it was definitely like sprained and swollen, which is almost worse than a break. Because a few years later,
I
break that same ankle, and I will definitely say that the break would hurt less than that sprain from
absolutely.
I didn't even have a stiff clutch. I broke my ankle running. And it was my left ankle. And I crawled to a neighbor's house. They gave me a ride back to my house. I was home, and I was like, I got to go to the hospital. So I went to Arundel Community Hospital. But, I mean, I didn't hit a lot of lights because it was a highway.
Right.
But I still had to get off and still had to stop at a stoplight and push my foot down. I just jammed my hand down on my knee and went,
right, just scream it out.
No, I mean, it wasn't as bad as yours, based on that. I didn't have a stiff
clutch.
Well,
you didn't fall out of the sky.
Correct. Yeah.
Let me ask you, I got two questions for you. One, since you did the solo jump, how long did it take you to psych yourself up to jump out of the plane?
Oh, I was so ready to go.
Really?
I was ready. Like, as soon as I was like, you guys are going to let me do this without an instructor attached to me? Let's do this.
I'm backward, but in my mind, the scariest part of the whole experience was getting out of the plane. Once you're falling, for whatever reason, you're dead.
Time stands still.
It's weird. I mean, like, you recognize that you're falling toward the planet, but it doesn't quite feel like that. And for whatever reason, you're real calm. But sitting on the plane, looking out of the doorway, I'm like, this is terrifying.
Yeah, but it's gonna be weird just to be suspended in air.
It is. But it's not
like weightless.
Sort of. I mean, like, you don't feel any way, but obviously you're clearly falling, but you don't get your stomach up in your guts. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, if you jump 3 feet, you feel your stomach flop. You jump out of a plane for whatever reason, everything feels normal.
Were you able to steer yourself? I mean, could you, like, use your hands and you know, go where you wanted to go before you pulled your chute?
Yeah. Part of that five-hour class is they teach you how to do the steering, and they teach you, most of it, you practice how to pull your emergency reserve, because, again, once you jump out and that instructor to your left and right is gone, because they do have somebody attached to you when you first jump out just to make sure you pull your chute in time. But once they let go, it's all you. So, I went through the whole, as soon as I got out of the cloud and could actually see, you know, I'm testing my steering. I'm making sure I have no rips, no tears, so that I don't have to pull my emergency chute. But that touch in the clouds by hand, like, hands down, is probably the coolest experience. I know I'm supposed to say, like, my kid was the coolest experience of my life.
You don't have to lie about it.
No, he's not listening.
That's a messy, stinky, loud affair that smells weird. I mean, you're glad that the life is here, but the experience is not,
and having a
awesome.
Kid's not that much worse.
Yeah.
Having a kid sounds much more painful.
It is. We were talking about it over the weekend. Like, it's an awful moment for everyone involved. Yes, you brought a life into the world, and that's the part you like. Everything leading up to it, and for about 30 minutes after that, is... It's gross, and it's loud, and it makes noises, and there's sights that you never want to see again.
And you realize you got to take care of this thing.
I know. Through all of that, you're like,
all right, what do we do now?
And now I got a kid. Yeah, actually, we're talking about that over the weekend. It's my wife and another woman talking about childbirth and their experiences with it. And the woman said, were you in the room? I said, yeah, I was there for both of my kids being born, man. And she goes, look, there's a lot of things they don't tell you in the movies. I said, I will just say this without being too graphic. A lot of stuff leading up to the birth and a couple of things post-birth. Caught me off guard. Watching the child actually get pooped into this universe, not a big deal.
No.
I'm like, everything else, the things I remember in my head.
Yeah, and movies don't show you that either. They don't show you anything.
They don't.
They don't show that. It's like pooping. No one poops in movies.
Nope.
No one gives birth.
You can have just fit. Well, no, they give birth, but it happens within 30 seconds of the water breaking.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.